In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. A four-year-old little girl cried out in the middle of the night for her daddy, and her exasperated dad thought, "This is the third night in a row." And he got up and wanted to calm her back to sleep. So after the nightly ritual of checking under the bed, closing the blinds, turning off everything, turning on the nightlight, her father said, "It's time to go back to sleep now, honey. Besides, you are never alone. God is always here, and there are many angels watching over you." And she replied, "But I want someone with skin on." Can we not relate to that? We want someone with skin on that we can experience in the flesh to give us comfort and assurance, much more than our imagination can, or even our faith. Like children who have not yet formed that image of their parent in their brain, and when the parent leaves the room, what does the child do? They start to cry because they think that the parent no longer exists. We're like that. We don't have that image emblazoned in our mind yet of the eternal. And so when we don't see God in the flesh, it's hard for us to continue our connection to that unseen, that eternal. In this world, we need God with skin on. Jesus knew this about his disciples when he met with them that night in the upper room. Now we're confusing you a little bit because we're backtracking. We're supposed to be in the season of resurrection, right? But we are now back in that upper room just before Jesus' crucifixion. Sort of makes sense because we're coming up on Ascension Day. So this is the time where Jesus, even the resurrected Jesus, will then go up to be with the Father and will not any longer be there on earth. So having that reading makes sense. But he gathered his followers together on that night to give them a glimpse of the kingdom, to prepare them for when they would no longer see him in the flesh. And it was an eternal moment where death was not going to be the last word. Jesus comforted his disciples, saying, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. I will come again and will take you to myself so that where I am, there you may be also." We also hear these words in our burial liturgy, and they're meant to be a comfort for someone who has lost a person dear to them and will no longer see them in earthly form. At the edge of his own grave, Jesus reassured his disciples that death would not be the last, that love endures and makes a home for all of us. Now, perhaps this dwelling place that Jesus speaks of is not so much a place. Maybe it's about relationship with God, so that there is eternity wherever God is. We see the humanity in these terrified disciples as they struggle with questions that also resonate in our hearts. "Lord, we do not know where you are going. We do not know the way." And Jesus responds, "I am the way and the truth and the life." This was one of Jesus's "I am" statements, much like back in the Old Testament when the burning bush happens and Moses is there and he asks for God's name and God says, "I am." Harkens back to that there's the divinity of Jesus right there. Christ's presence on earth was God's gift to humankind. It was a decisive act of love that we could see God in the face of Jesus. God with skin on. Without his physical presence, people would have to look to the life of Jesus to know the way of compassion, the way of mercy, the way of reconciliation and healing. Jesus reflects in this passage a vision of who God is and what God looks like. God is all that Jesus embodies, love for you and me and all people. Yet, interestingly, this passage is often used, this I am the way passage, as an exclusivist vision of Jesus being the only way to God. And yet, this would take one line out of an entire lifetime of ministry. We would miss Jesus' hospitality, his welcome, his love for all, if we just take that one line and try to understand it. Jesus opened a way for all of humanity to see God in relationship. And God is surely present in every created thing and space and time, just no longer with skin on. Following the way of Jesus then brings us into eternal life right here on earth. So if we look to heaven to be a place that we go to at a specific time, we miss the moments of heaven on earth, the eternal in the now that happens to us every single day. Every so often, our vision widens and deepens, and we get a glimpse of the eternity that God is offering us. Years ago, I went to a Credo conference, which is designed for priests after 5 to 7 years of service to take some time and recalibrate to, you know, priests often get burned out, and so they want you to go back and take several days, 10 days actually, to really take some time to think of where you are spiritually. So I chose to go to Credo in Prescott, Arizona. It was a beautiful setting, gorgeous, crisp air. It was in April, and lots of trails to hike, which was my favorite. One particular morning on our communal worship, the worship team asked this very interesting Eastertide question. What am I willing to let die inside of me to make room for God's new graces to be born in me? The question cuts to the heart for all of us, laying open our fear of change, our separation anxiety that happens when we feel like we're losing control, our need to know the path before it's laid out for us. But new life comes to us as a gift, as we lay aside the things that are passing away in our lives and begin to make room for God's new creation to emerge in us. With every loss, there is a renewal, there is a death and a resurrection. And then we grow into the fullness of who God wants us really to be. So I pondered this question as I walked the desert path. It was dry and brown, and there were rocks all around me. I was a little anxious because I wasn't sure of where I was going, but parts of the path were really well traveled, and then all of a sudden the path would just leave me, and I'd have to figure it out on my own, one step at a time. I stopped at one point because I heard the wind roaring through the valley, and then just a little quiet sound of a burbling brook somewhere. And I looked around, and in the crevices of the rocks were these little tiny yellow flowers and painted cactus. And then this lizard goes running by, and all of a sudden it was crystal clear to me that there was life in this desert, that God was so abundant even in the driest of places. And I thought to myself, I wonder if I will remember that in my own desert moments, that there's life there, abundant life, if I will look for it. It was a moment outside of time, one of those eternal moments. and it was a word of hope to my heart. So God invites each of us to dwell in these eternal moments so that we can see that eternity is right now, right here. Jesus left his disciples a challenge to ponder. He said, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these." So as Jesus was departing the world, he sent his disciples on this path of living the way of compassion, the way of mercy, the way of love. And we are sent from this place. We're fed at this table, and then we are sent to go out and live the way of mercy, compassion, and love. Like the disciples, we don't know where the path is going to lead us. But we can trust in the same promises that God creates new life even in the desert, even in the driest of places, and dwells in us to guide our way. And if we pay attention, we get glimpses of the kingdom and eternal life. Thomas Merton, a contemplative Catholic monk, wrote about the eternal realm, about heaven and our unity with God. He writes, "Our discovery of God is in a way God's discovery of us. We cannot go to heaven to find God because we have no way of knowing where heaven is or what it is. God comes from heaven and finds us. God seeing us gives us new being, and in a new state of mind we are, we discover God." As we're sent out to do the work that God has given us to do in the world, God dwells in us in a new way, creates something new in us. We serve not in God's power, but in God's mercy. Not in God's greatness, but in God's humility. Not in judgment, but in hospitality. That's the way we know Christ dwelled on earth. And in so doing, we find our fullest being in God. I pray that we can open our hearts to see the eternal God showing us the way home. God working in us and through us just might be the God with skin on someone needs. Amen.